Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP Chicago. ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
And that's right, you can watch us and listen to the show and interact. That's the sneaky good part of Twitch. Check us out, twitch.tv, or download the Twitch app and follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's a whole new way to consume your favorite ESPN 1000 shows. It's all brought to you by Flo and Santos in the South Loop and our great friends at Miller Lite. See if our Blackhawks can be great friends to us again.
Let's do this.
And extend the season and force a game six. Boy, Crow had to stand on his head in game five. The Blackhawks did manage a win. Will they be able to do it here tonight and force that game six? Let's talk to the one and only good time, Patty Boyle, who joins us on the Corona Hotline. Patty Boyle, what's going on?
How you guys doing? Hey, before we get to some hot hockey chatter, your pecker issue, I think you're missing the obvious solution, Sylvie. Braxton.
Oh, yeah.
Let him take his super soaker or whatever he has there, open that window up, and let him soak those woodpeckers.
Yeah, Patty, I said if you hit those peckers with enough cold water, they'll go away.
Yeah, and Braxton's relentless. My wife said she dropped something off at your house last week, and he came rolling out like he was like a SWAT team member with a super soaker.
He is. He's something. I thought you were going to say, hey, build like a little deck off the window and just have Braxton live out there, because that would solve two problems for us.
It would, yeah. So I'm not sure that's violating child labor laws, but I'd give that a shot. And then when he takes his nap, you just have a cardboard cutout of him.
I would be afraid.
Have Mason take over for a shift.
I would be afraid that if you allowed Braxton to attack the problem, he may bore a hole in the side of the house and move in there himself.
You should see his bedroom, guys. There are holes galore. Yeah. I don't know what he's doing in there.
So many activities.
There's a hole where the door goes. There's a hole over here. We've had to cut the water off his faucet.
Well, this is great. He'll stop terrorizing the house, and he'll terrorize the woodpeckers.
You're a problem solver, Patty.
I think you got to look into that.
Yeah. All right. So, what do you think tonight? What do you feel good that they won, or do you feel bad because the Golden Knights dominated that game?
It's kind of a weird feeling. Like they said, they played their best game. The Vegas Golden Knights played their best game of the entire tournament, and they lost 3-1. I mean, the reason why I'm talking to you previewing Game 5 is because of Corey Crawford. They had 96 shot attempts.
Wow.
96! They had 20 shots on goal in the first period alone. The Hawks had game one only had 20 shots on goal. So, I mean, it was – they just kept coming. And I cracked up afterwards when Corey was being asked. He's like, yeah, I didn't really think there were too many high-danger chances. I'm like, there weren't too many high-danger – there were 17 high-danger chances of the 49 shots that he faced. So, it was all him. I mean, do you think he's going to have that type of performance again? I mean, let's hope he doesn't have to.
Is it asking too much for the guys in front of him to take some of the pressure off of him?
Well, you know, they blocked 32 shots.
I mentioned that to Eddie yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, but no, you bring up a guy. They turned the puck over quite a bit. Their puck management was not great, especially in that first period. I rewatched it today. I mean, Calvin DeHaan would get the puck on a stick, and he's looking to make a pass, but he's waiting like 2 seconds too long. And a Golden Knight steals it from them and cycles and continues the relentless pressure. So they got to do a better job with that. And they also got their stars need to score. I mean, Jonathan Toews has been held without a point the last two games. Patrick Kane was held without a point in the last game, the qualifying round. So, I mean, Kane's due. Kane is absolutely due.
Patty, have you ever seen him miss a net like he did?
No, no. And it was there. I mean, that was there for the taking. He had almost half the 4x6 to throw it into, and he hit the post, but, like, he hit the outside of the post. It wasn't, like, even really, really close. So, no, I haven't seen it. I want to blame the ice conditions a little bit on that, but I also watched the Vancouver Canucks and St. Louis Blues play after the Hawks did the other night, and they didn't seem to have quite the problem.
Chunky ice tonight because it's a 9:30-something puck drop. Yeah, chunky ice. You can use that phrase.
I know, this is your forte. You usually break down the ice.
Patty, you can use that term tonight if you want on the pregame
chunky?
Show. Yeah, chunky ice tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, chunky
ice. Let me write that down.
Hold on. I love the tip.
Yeah. You can use it. Chunky ice.
Keys to victory. Chunky ice. Yeah,
chunky ice.
Yeah. Make sure you try to keep
Chunky ice does have that puck rolling, dipping, and diving.
Yeah.
And that's why Matthew Highmore was able to score from below the goal line.
Yeah,
that thing
was
rocking, and it kind of took Robin Leonard by surprise. He tries to head it to the corner. It goes off his noggin in the back of the head. So in the back of the net. So, I mean, there is something to be said on these subpar conditions to – it's never a bad idea to put the puck on net.
Yeah. Hey, Pat, is this one – I don't know how it plays in basketball versus hockey, if there's any difference at all, but if you're the Golden Knights, isn't this the one – I know this is – I'm being the master of the obvious here, but don't you want to make sure that this thing ends tonight? Because the last thing you want to do for a team that's got the pedigree that the Hawks have in a lot of spots is give them any hope at all with a second win.
No question. And you want to put the dagger in the first period. Because here's what happens. Last year, the Vegas Golden Knights had a 3-1 series lead over San Jose. They ended up losing game 6 in double overtime and game 7 in overtime.
Ooh.
And they blew a 3-1 series lead and lost to the Sharks. So a lot of those guys are still on this team. If the Hawks somehow win tonight and get it to 3-2, all of a sudden that narrative, that storyline becomes prevalent. And look, all they got to do is think about last year. Like, we can't do this 2 years in a row. And their coach, Pete DeBoer, was the coach of the Sharks who led that comeback. So there is some urgency that they would like to take care of this thing tonight and not let this thing drag out. I just don't know what type of performance we're going to see from the Hawks. I mean, they've played better. They played better in game 3 and came up on the losing side of things. So
yeah, that was a frustrating one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a strange series, but look, it's been fun. They were given a lottery ticket just to get into this dance. You know, they get out of the first round and now I think they're playing a Stanley Cup favorite. And let's see if they can extend it and get it to a sixth game.
Has Alex DeBrincat finally found something?
I hope so. He after his performance in game 3, he had 10 shots on goal, 10 shot attempts, 8 shots on goal. The hockey gods smiled upon him with that empty netter. And I've seen him last season when he scored 40 goals. He got on a streak, and it was an empty net goal that kind of got him going. So, you know, while you think it's a cheapie, it does make a guy who has never played in the Stanley Cup playoffs before, it takes that pressure off him of not having scored in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I think he goes out there with a different mindset. So, no, I think that is certainly something that could happen, and it could come from just that. I also think the Pacioretty slash on that, I think that may spill over into tonight.
I was just going to ask you that. I thought that was one of the cheaper things I've seen in recent
times. It was really cheap, and it was only a $2,500 fine, which is nothing to, you know, Max Pacioretty and these millionaires. So I have a feeling it could spill over tonight, but you also got to be smart. You can't, you know, you got to finish your check, but you can't go, you know, after Max Pacioretty and end up in the box and go down, you know, on the penalty kill and end up blowing the game because you're trying to get back to, at him for what he did to DeBrincat on Sunday night.
Do you believe the Hawks' power play tonight will A, score a goal, B, not score a goal, or C, give up a goal?
they better. You know, they've shown in this last game they were 0-for-3, but they had some better looks and they worked the puck down low. And Eddie O tried to illustrate that by saying, you know, Jonathan Toews got the puck down near the goal line, had his back to Robin Lehner, and went and passed it to Kirby Dach for the quick shot in the slot, and Dach had that shot blocked. What Eddie said was there was plenty of room for the jam play there where you just, instead of looking for the pass, you just turn around. There's nobody in front of you other than the goalie, and you try to go upstairs on Lehner, or you're in so tight, you're 4 or 5 feet away, that if he does save it, it's likely going to come out, and there's going to be some loose change for Dach or Kubalik to knock in. So I think there's a chance that they could score tonight if they go about it the way they did. This penalty kill for Vegas is not prolific. They were among, I think, 27th or 28th before the pause. So they're not great. They're really aggressive up at the top, like where Duncan turned it over in game three that led to the shorthanded goal. So they're really aggressive. That's why you got to get that puck down low and try to exploit them down there.
Am my eyes deceiving me, or am I seeing the Golden Knights? They're not a devastating power play team.
They were like ninth, and the Hawks have been fantastic. The Hawks have killed off the last 14 power plays in a row going back to the Oilers series. So they haven't allowed a power play goal from Vegas in this series so far. And, you know, they're a top 10 power play. They're nowhere near as dynamic as we saw with the Edmonton Oilers, which that was basically all their offense was their power play. So, but the Hawks have been fantastic. But Corey was unbelievable. There was 9 shots on goal on Vegas's 3 power plays the other night. And Corey was flawless, you know, as he was most of the night.
All right, two-part question as we let you go. Who's in net for the Golden Knights, and what's your final score?
I have not heard yet who's in from Pete DeBoer. I would assume they're going to stay with Robin Lehner, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if Marc-Andre Fleury is in there. Here's the thing: if you start Robin Lehner. Because both guys, I mean, I thought Robin was fine. You can say the header goal was a cheapie, was kind of fluky. But the one goal that Marc-Andre Fleury allowed on Sunday was one that went under his armpit that he should have had. So it's like both have been good and both have let in one soft goal in each of the last starts. So do you go with the pedigree of Marc-Andre Fleury, or do you go with Lehner, who's been carrying you since he arrived from Chicago and has a chance to put the dagger in his former team? I would probably go with Lehner in tonight's case. And what was the other question you had?
The score, your final score, and where we could find you tonight.
All right, NBC Sports Chicago, pregame at 9 o'clock. Pat and Edzo will have the call just after 9:30. And let's go Hawks 3. Vegas Golden Knights 2, Patrick Kane gets his first goal of the series.
All right.
On chunky ice.
Something. All right, PB, good stuff. We'll be watching. Have a great broadcast.
Thank you,
Pat
Boyle.
Thanks, boys. Take care.
He's the best. Pat Boyle, NBC Sports Chicago.
Good time, Pat.
Watch him tonight at 9. He always is looking for a good time.
Hey, listen, you guys can giggle all you want at me. The ice condition has been an issue in these postseason games because they're all being played on 2 different rinks. So if you're the 4th game on a given day on the ice, You're getting chunky ice.
We don't question genius. We don't. We don't
take
question
that.
Genius.
Take that.
We're with you. We're riding the
Who
chunky
is taking
ice
that?
Car.
We're all on your side.
We're on chunky ice.
I thought I was. I thought I was.
We get it. We understand.
I was supposed to end every statement with take that.
The ice is going to be chunky like it's at. You're getting ice at Chick-fil-A. The little pellets. That's
the Roger Bossert of ice talk.
Take that.
Yeah.
Embrace it. Snow cone out of it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Coming up next, Anthony Rizzo was awesome this morning on Cap. He addressed the Tatis issue with the unwritten rules and also talked about the big dramatic home run from David Bodie yesterday. Plus, there's Cubs news. All that next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, the only place you hear Anthony Rizzo each and every week is right here on ESPN 1000. The place you hear him is Cap and Jay Hood. New time now, and they're doing a great job. Local morning show beginning at 7 o'clock. Make sure you're with us each and every day. And Anthony Rizzo is having a great year, getting on base, being very productive, was on with Cap this morning.
Riz, good morning. How are you? A doubleheader split. David Bodie to the rescue.
Good. Good. Good to win the second game. End our little skid we went on and get that winning feeling back.
So I want to play something for you. We had your boss on yesterday, Theo Epstein. And this is Theo when I brought your name up to him.
You know, Riz has been incredible this year. I mean, he's always been a leader of this group in a lot of ways that don't show up, but in his own unique style, you know, so not getting outside of who he is. He's just been natural leader in a lot of ways, but there have been some areas where that hasn't been him. It hasn't been his personality. And I think this is the year where he's, as I said, he's taking it to another level in that I think he's being so intentional about his leadership. And he genuinely cares about this group and about this year and everything going on in the world. And he wants to make something great of it so bad. He wants to live in the moment and get the absolute most out of every day. And so I think he shows up to the park each day thinking, how can I make this fun? How can I uplift my teammates? And how can I help keep everybody safe? But all the right things. And you know, I've had a number of guys tell me this is by far the most fun dugout they've ever been in. And you know, if you whenever the broadcast shows it, check it out. I mean, it's just alive. And they are like an American Legion team or like a college team, I guess. You know, just supporting each other, so enthusiastic, and Riz is right in the middle of that. And kudos to him. I mean, it's not something that happens by accident. He didn't have to do it, and you know, to have someone in middle of their career sort of elevate themselves to the highest level as a leader like that is just really impressive.
So, when you hear your boss say that, A, your first thoughts about that, and how did you arrive at the Anthony Rizzo we see today?
I mean, obviously hearing that from Theo is great. I mean, we obviously have such a long-lasting relationship for well over 10 years now. So it's really it's always nice to hear that. But it's something that you learn every day and every year, and you learn from the guys before you. You learn from conversations you have with good conversations, tough conversations, and putting yourself in uncomfortable situations to grow. And I think I've continued to do that and continue to challenge myself to do that. And, you know, you just take it day by day. But, I mean, it's a credit to a lot of guys, too, because all the guys, too, have really bought in. And we just want to have fun. And I think which shows it. And we've been winning. And I know we just went through a little skid, but winning last night with that big home run by Bodie sparked a lot of energy back into us.
Yeah, and Anthony, just watching on television, watching the games, it just seems like you guys are providing your own energy. There's no crowd there. It just seems like it's just you against, you know, your team against the world. Does it feel different this year than the last few as far as camaraderie in the clubhouse?
Yeah, I think a lot. You know, I look at all everything going on, and I try to take away all the positives of it. And with no one being in the clubhouse except the players, with being on the road and we're so isolated, it's just you reinvest. And that was something I wanted to do anyways coming into this year, start reinvesting in the guys more than I have in the past. Just because this is a long season, usually, you know, 162, and I know this year's only 60, but the more everyone's on the same page, and, you know, guys, it's hard for guys sometimes. Sometimes guys think they should be playing more, guys this and that. All the little bickering things that go into a season, it's very easy to, you know, crawl into your own hole and become selfish in this game. So I think everyone that's in the clubhouse knows that, and we try to counter that every day.
Anthony Rizzo joins us each week here on Cap and Cap and J Hood. I almost said Cap and Company.
Careful, pal.
And it's brought to you by Templeton Rye Whiskey and Valparaiso University.
Anthony, give us a scouting report on Kim yesterday. He's got that funky lefty delivery. What was the approach? Because you were able to get a number of walks in the doubleheader yesterday.
He first time obviously seeing him throw strikes, worked fairly quickly, so. The cutter and the curveball, and he locates his fastball. The first two at bats, I did walk. So it's just guys like that. He's obviously a veteran pitcher over in Korea and comes over and he knows how to pitch. So you can't try to do too much and try to put good swings on the ball.
So I don't know if you heard. Did you hear what happened? The controversy with Fernando Tatis Jr. last night.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. He swung 3-0.
Correct.
Yeah, what was the score? It was 7-2.
It was 7-2, and he's up. It's 3-0. He never looks down at the third base coach and swings on 3-0 because he has the green light always, and he had been given a take sign, never saw it. Hits a grand slam. And the manager of the Rangers, Chris Woodward, very upset. His own manager, Jace Tingler, criticized him after the game. Trevor Bauer came out and defended him and said, "You keep being you, kid. You're great for the game. The only thing you did wrong was apologizing for it." And then Johnny Bench this morning, the Hall of Famer, said, "So hold on. You take a pitch. Now you're 3-1. Then the pitcher comes back with a great setup pitch. It's 3-2. Now you're ready to ground out into a double play. Everyone swings 3-0. Grand slams are a huge stat. So do you think he did something wrong?"
No. How many outs were there? Do you know?
I don't remember. Yeah.
He is Fernando Tatis Jr. for a reason. I mean, he's exciting. He's electric.
There was one out, by the way.
3-0. The 3-0 count now is that unwritten rule needs to be washed away because every pitcher is going to throw you they may not even throw you a fastball down the middle anymore, 3-0. So it's just, in my opinion, that's a washed rule because then if we're supposed to take 3-0, then the pitcher's supposed to throw us a fastball 3-1. So.
Right.
I think that's one of them. 7-2, the game's really not that far out of hand, especially in a 60-game season. But I could see guys getting ticked off, but he did exactly what he was supposed to do, swinging at a 3-0 pitch, and that's hit a grand slam, so I don't know if he could be that ticked off.
Yeah, by the way, it was 10-3 was the score at the time. 10-3.
Well, what we were talking about earlier, Riz, was just saying, like, look, you know, you're hurting the sport when you have both managers coming down on a kid that just has his natural instinct. If you're in that spot, you know, if it's 3-0 and it's like, okay, well, he's going to give me, if it's a fastball and I can hit it, I'm going to swing at it. I'm not used to just taking a pitch just to take a pitch. It's I don't think about the good of the game. I think about how I can help my team. That seems like that's first and foremost, more so than some unwritten rules of the game.
Yeah, I mean, our job is to get a hit every single time we go to the plate. So I don't care if the score's 20-0. My job is to get a hit. And if teams start conceding runners and, you know, start playing off, here's another topic I always have a debate about, and which I'm going to do here sooner rather than later. If the game's out of hand one way or the other and the team's still shifting me, I'm going to drop a bunt down, and people are going to get pissed off about it, but why shift?
Right.
You know, there's just so many of these unwritten rules now, and it's like, well, if the game's out of hand, then what are we doing? Why are you shifting still?
It's a great question. How did it feel being the road team at Wrigley, one of the games, and they still let you use your clubhouse, I would assume?
Yeah, it wasn't as strange as you'd think, just because having the summer camp and being in both dugouts and hitting first and second during camp. So, but I mean, with the home uni, if we were to be wearing gray at Wrigley, that would have been a little strange. But it wasn't too bad.
It's so weird to be able to see a doubleheader and it's seven innings apiece. And like, I'm flexible enough, Riz, to look at baseball and say, okay, they're trying stuff out. It's a weird season for 2020. How strange is it for you to know that you could just, you know, pack up shop after seven innings?
It's, you know, you look up in the fifth and you're like, oh, we only got two innings left.
Right.
But it's just, it is what it is. And this is, especially for the Cardinals' sake right now, having them have to play all these games. It's just player safety definitely is involved in the seven inning doubleheaders. But it's this year and we're going to have fun with it.
Well, I know you're a big hockey fan. Will you stay up after your game is over and watch the Blackhawks if that one goes late? Doesn't puck drop isn't until 9:35 or so, or I come home and go right to bed.
I wish I could go right to bed when I get home. But, no, I'll be watching. The playoffs have been fun. Hockey's done a great job at, you know, you watch the games on TV and it looks like you're watching normal with fans in the stands. Not really, but that's the way my mind works.
The play you made last night when you had to dive to tag first with your glove.
Yeah.
Then Anthony Rizzo gets there. Does the guy last year make that play?
I made that play last year. Come on. Did it with Kimbrel. That's one where I go in the dugout and start chirping at Tommy Hotovy and make sure the pitchers get over all the time.
Yeah, that was when I saw you coming, I thought, oh boy, pitcher's getting there a little late. And then you had another one later in the game, but I think Kyle Ryan was the guy who got there and you made the throw.
Yep. So, it's just, those plays are fun. It was always nice to make nice plays for the guys and contribute defensively, because offensively that comes and goes. Defensively, that's the one thing that is the constant in my career.
Last thing, did you like the seven inning doubleheaders? You get it again tomorrow. Today's a nine inning single game at night.
I like the 35 minutes or 40 minutes between games. That's what I really enjoy. Just play baseball, the split day-night doublehead, traditional, you know, play at 1 and then clear the stadium, play at 7. Those are always really hard. So playing 7 innings, 45-minute break, another 7 innings was really like a cakewalk compared to the traditional ones.
Did you eat between the game?
I had a Portillo's hot dog.
Nice.
Really did it Little League college style. Just a nice hot dog between the games.
Fries or no fries, Riz?
No fries. Oh. Just a nice dog.
Please tell me you didn't put ketchup on your hot dog.
You know what I did? I layered it in ketchup.
Yeah!
Chicago hot dogs don't get ketchup.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I got it exactly the way it comes, the Portillo's with the pickle and the pepper on there. I love that. That's a great spot.
Yeah, that is a great spot. Hey, man, have a good game tonight. We love talking to you, and see if we can get on a little run now. A winning streak would be great.
All right, Cap. Take care, guys.
Rizzo's always can't miss with Cap, and that's Cap and Jonathan Hood now every day at 7 a.m. There is more Cubs news with Chris Bryant back on the shelf. Now what do? They put him on the injured list, or David Ross weighed in on that. Want to share that with you. We had a lot of football discussion, some good sounds from Hallis Hall today, and are you rooting for a specific quarterback? Do you not care as long as it's the best one, or are you Team Trubisky or Team Foles? 312-332-3776. We'll discuss next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Couple of newsworthy items before we get back into the Bears.
Are you talking about the Wall Street Journal article about how men should consume no more than one alcoholic drink a day, according to a federal committee's recommendations for a U.S. dietary guideline? That wasn't part of...
Studies like that.
You know what? You're my man. I'm with you.
But there's going to be a study then tomorrow saying that, hey, two glasses of wine makes you smarter. So what was this, only one drink?
One a day.
You could have one a day.
Dude, when you're done with treatment, you're going to be like good for like 40 for one night.
I hope so. I hope so. Or at least a couple a night.
Yeah.
There's Cubs news. Chris Bryant is on the shelf with a wrist injury. They have not IL'd him, though. Remember, this has been the nagging wrist injury. He had an injection, and he hopes maybe to be back by Friday. I'll read you the quote from David Ross in a minute. And also, Cubs news, Steven Souza Jr., who just started to hit, was placed on the IL with a hamstring strain. Hernan Perez was brought up from the alternate site. They had your former guy, Waddle, Derek Dietrich, who was a good hitter with the Reds, that they signed to their alternate site, but they let him go because he wanted to be up in the majors. And they could use him now because Dietrich can hit and he could play multiple positions in the field.
If he could hit, don't you think he'd still be with the Reds?
I don't think the hitting was the issue, but... that's neither here nor there. We'll get into that more with the baseball show coming up with Black and Abdallah.
These two are salivating to get on the air and talk some baseball with the listeners out there.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Like, they're panting in there. They're watching the clock. They can't wait for it to get to six so that they can start talking baseball with everyone.
Oh, we have a lot of stuff ready to go tonight. So
I know you do.
Don't have...
I'm not being a wise-ass. I'm being serious.
I hear... A hint of sarcasm in your voice there, Waddle.
Not a bit.
Don't make us go high and inside on you.
Black, you're taking offense like Waddle took offense with the chunky ice.
yes, we're
backing you guys.
Yeah.
All right.
We're team talking baseball at six, or the baseball show. So we asked you earlier, and I polled the question. Are you rooting, do you have a rooting interest in the Bears quarterback derby? And I basically summed it up like, who are you rooting for? Are you rooting for Trubisky? Are you rooting for Foles? Or do you just want the guy who does the best job in the offense?
Number three.
And the way things are breaking down right now, 49% with you, Waddle, the quarterback who runs the offense best. We have Team Trubisky, though, in second place.
I'm not surprised.
With 30.2% of the vote, and Foles only getting 20.6%.
We live in an environment where everyone wants to be right, you know, and there are people still clinging to, they want to say, take that, and I told you so about Mitch at some point.
And it's the ultimate comeback story. We always like the underdog comeback story.
No doubt. I mean, that would be great. I just want them to win some games, and that means improve on offense.
Dan's in Wicker Park. Danny, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. So I'm not Team Mitch because I want to be like, hey, Mitch, I told you so. I believed in him since day one. But I was so frustrated with the full signing. I just couldn't believe that the Bears went in that direction with that kind of money that I made a bet out of spite guaranteeing that Mitch would be the starter in week one. So now here I am.
Why did you hate the Foles trade so much, Dan?
I just thought it was another middle-of-the-road quarterback, and we either need to restart with something new, somebody with a higher ceiling, or let Mitch ride this out and then see what happens next.
or go after Cam Newton in the same way that the Patriots did.
Yeah. I was with you with Cam. Dan,
but if you were going to go after Cam Newton, that what is going to be at the end, right? I mean, like, again, it's easy to say, you know, and I know you did. Like, if you wanted Cam, you wanted him from the very beginning. And if you take Cam back in March, you didn't know where he was at. You weren't going to have access to him. And I was fine with it, but you were going to move on from Mitch if you bring in Cam, right? You weren't bringing in
or
Cam.
Or you were going to bring in Cam for free and just sign him and not give up a fourth-round pick and go Cam and Trubisky. I always liked the high upside of Cam.
And he was going to cost you more back in March than he cost the Patriots.
Well, you don't know that. He had no market. There was no market. So I don't know if you could say that he would have cost you more than $24 million, like $8 million a year.
Well, I don't know if he was going to cost. I'm saying he would have cost you more than what he cost the Patriots back in March. I'm not comparing him to Foles.
Right, right. Maybe, but $8 million a year is what you're giving Foles. I understand the rationale with Foles. The rationale with Foles is in the most unprecedented offseason where mini camps were all virtual, where there's no preseason games. If you bring in a new guy, it better be a new guy who knows your system and your coaches know and trust. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they've done. See Blue Braggs, Greg Braggs joining us, Waddle and Sylvie. Hey, Braggs, what's up?
What's happening, gang? So, yeah, you guys got me all fired up today because you guys are talking, Waddle's talking about, like, it's about proving that I told you so.
Oh, that's
and
definitely
Black,
part of your arsenal. Don't lie to us. You want to be able to call the show and say, I told you so.
It has turned into that because of the browbeating that guys like Cap and I take on a daily basis because we're still trying to stick up for the kids.
You're
saying,
browbeating
hey,
because he didn't play
around.
Well. Don't turn this around
but
on us and try
I'm
to be a sympathetic
saying, not,
figure.
That's not the driving force of why I still stay. I'm not jumping off the Trubisky bandwagon. It's for the reasons you were stating earlier, Waddle, where you're saying, because that is what is best for the path to the Bears. If he works out, the team's going to rally behind him. The city would. If he truly did turn it around, so why wouldn't you root for that? And that's what bugs me about the poll question, because you're rooting one way or another. Of course you want whatever quarterback is going to run the offense best. That should go without saying. Any Bears fan is just going to want them to win the Super Bowl. I don't think we all need to keep qualifying ourselves whether you want Foles in there or you want Trubisky in there to qualify yourself by saying, oh, well, I'm a Bears fan, so I just want whoever's going to be best.
The caller,
that's obvious.
The caller before you just told you he's rooting for Mitch and didn't want Nick Foles.
I loved his rationale. That's exactly the same space I'm in. I said it to Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. They're always saying that I say two things. I said last year, let's just stick with Mitch for one more year or just completely wipe the slate clean. I don't like the half-measure stuff, and Nick Foles could potentially be a half-measure if he does, just in his career arc. He's not a guy that is going to, we know who Nick Foles is. But the question is, who is Mitch Trubisky? Is he a bust? I don't think he's
I'm
the
not
DeMarcus
willing. Okay,
Russell
I'm not.
Bust
Greg, I'm not. I'm
say.
Not. I'm not willing to sit around and waste another year of a defense that is as good
Absolutely.
As this defense.
That's why they brought Nick Foles in, because they can't waste that time anymore. But let's not pretend like this isn't a quarterback competition, because everybody's like acting like it's in the bag for Foles. It's not. It absolutely is not. Or else they wouldn't be calling this a quarterback competition. Nick Foles, the last time he won a game in the NFL was the playoffs 2 years ago in Soldier Field. So it's not like this guy, and I know there's nobody's pretending like he's Joe Montana besides Mitchell and Des Plaines, but it's just the fact that Mitch has a shot here. And for me or Kaplan or anybody else to be rooting for Mitch, that shouldn't be an indictment. That shouldn't be something that you get browbeat about. For the caller
earlier today. You sound really defensive today.
No, because Black, you got the new guy in here. We got to set some ground rules on this guy.
Does he sound overly defensive today to you?
Oh, shots fired.
Very argumentative.
They were saying that, I stick up for Mitch because he's like my child. That's not the truth at all. Of course, now that everyone's gone back and forth this whole offseason dragging this dude and not holding any accountability to the rest of the team, I'm going to stick up for Mitch.
Braggs, let me ask you two questions here, right? Two questions.
One.
Is it in the best interest of the Bears to have the best quarterback who plays in training camp start for them?
Of course.
Okay.
That goes
number,
without
no,
saying.
Number two. Number two. Number question. Two. If it's Trubisky, will you not gloat like he's one of your children?
I am going to only because you guys have given me so much crap. When I was right about Mitch and the Bears in 2018, I didn't gloat to anyone. Oh, anyone. I'd run around camp telling everyone how great all the players are going to be. Tariq, Anthony Miller, and they were dancing, having fun, and I was telling everybody that would listen they were going to be great, and they
Greg,
were.
They were the 21st. They were the 20. They were the 21st ranked offense.
That.
Even in 2018.
It was still a good year. I mean, that was the most fun year we've had in the last 10 years, so I'll take
it. You're right, but you should have done the defensive dance because their defense was historically good.
67 interceptions.
Totality. I'm not just a Mitch fan. I mean, I know that's kind of what we do on this show, but I'm a Bears fan, so of course. I mean, I was excited about the entire team.
That's why we're Bears fans. That's why we voted C or 3, that we just want the guy who's best for the team to win.
That
Boom.
Should go without saying. Now, the rooting question is, like I said, there should be no third option. You're allowed to root for one or the other. That's what a quarterback competition is. We've been through this how many times
in
this
city? I'm not rooting for one or the other. They all play for the same team.
I'm rooting for the laundry.
You're allowed to.
All right, that was good. Did you just call him a loudmouth? I didn't say that. Brax, what'd you say?
Of course I'm a loudmouth.
I didn't say that.
I thought Brax called you a loudmouth.
Oh, that's fine. I am a loudmouth.
All right, Brax.
No,
good
we
stuff.
Got, we got
good
Blake
battle.
On here now, so we got all you guys picking
Hold on, guys. I got to interrupt with some NBA news. The Miami Heat have beat the Indiana Pacers 113-101. Sorry to cut Brags off there, but we just had to get that NBA news in there that the Miami Heat. It's brought to you by Kia and brought to you by Bet Rivers. Yeah.
So Jimmy Butler gets a win. I think he had like 28.
Yeah.
And in game one, Milwaukee lost to Orlando. And then another football note for you. How about this? Just last week, Brett Favre said he would love to see Aaron Rodgers in a Bears uniform.
Yes.
Tomorrow, Brett Favre will join Carmen and his old teammate Yurko at 11 o'clock here on ESPN 1000. So I want them to really dig in on this one.
Maybe Brett would join the Bears.
Yeah, it may be the best option too, Waddle. We've heard rumors about Nick Foles' bigness. Was it confirmed today? We'll play it for you next.
Tonight's baseball show is brought to you by Heroes West in Joliet. Stop in and grab a couple Goose Island White Sox Golden Ales tonight. Heroes West in Joliet is a proud official White Sox bar and a great place to watch a Sox game.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We know the Bears quarterback derby is underway because we got feistiness. I like it. And we're so close to Bears season, it doesn't feel like it yet. But yeah, things are coming quickly with the NFL. I want to play
you. 3 weeks from Thursday, I believe, is the kickoff of the season.
You'd be correct. Absolutely. No preseason games, though. I want to play you Cordero Patterson today. Let's start with the Nick Foles stuff. We've heard the rumors about Nick Foles. Did Cordero Patterson just confirm them?
I mean, obviously, Nick's been in the league a long time. And first thing when I saw him, like, he's big. I thought I was big, but I was like, he's a big human. But Nick's been in the lead a lot of years, so he's smart, man. He knows the offense. I feel like he picked the offense up within a week we've been here. It just the way he handled himself as a man, you know, like I was saying with Mitch, that leader role, you know, and Mitch, he's one of those guys, and, you know, that's what we need.
I think he confirmed the rumors.
6'6", 230.
I don't. You think that's what he was talking about?
Yeah, he said when he first saw him. I don't think that his first meeting was probably naked.
What are you saying?
I'm saying when he first saw him, he probably
I saw
was
him like, walked into the building.
I think he
I
was
thought
probably
I was big. I was like, he's fully human.
When you don't react to someone's tallness that way, do you?
Yeah, I've always said that too.
Bold.
Like, you don't know how tall 7 foot is until you stand next to Bill Wennington. And you're like, damn, it's enormously tall.
But Cordero Patterson says that Mitch Trubisky also has been wowing him.
No, he actually looks like a whole new player this year, man. It's just, I just see it in his eyes each and every day, man. He's got that fire on him. So, you know, that's what we need out of our quarterbacks, man, that competition. You know, it brings the best out of everybody. So I'm excited to see him and Nick can do, you know, compete for that job. So it's going to be a good year.
You have Betty Davis eyes.
We'll see what this goes. So far, you said
eyes.
There are some Bears reporters who say that Trubisky, after 2 days, has the upper hand as the early lead.
Okay. Like I said, I voted 3. I just want the guy that gives me a chance to win. Again, I'll get a T-shirt if I have to. Just be average. Be the 16th best offense in the league, and we're going to scare some people in this town.
That's the battle cry going into this year. Yeah. Nothing wrong with average here.
Guess what's up next?
The baseball show. Whoa. And, boys, you guys all over the Bryant news, too, with him on the shelf, probably through at least Friday?
Absolutely. All over the Chris Bryant news, all over the White Sox tonight. We will lead you into White Sox baseball. We're just here to build you that
bridge.
Have White
that Sox baseball
tunnel.
White Sox baseball tonight.
It's a short show. We'll be in and out, quick 30-minute ride until White Sox baseball.
Well, great job today with us. Love having you both here. Thank you to Stephen A., Patty Boyle. I've got the Hawks winning tonight, 4-3, boys.
Hawks.
Any predictions from you guys?
Pain.
I like what Boyle said. Let's get some Kaner goals tonight.
Let's go.
Can we get two
Let's
Kaner
go!
Goals?
Let's Come go. On. I've got Knights 4-3.
And Chunky Ice.
Chunky ice.
All right. The baseball show coming up, then White Sox baseball at 6:35. For Abdallah and Black and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night. Packers banging right away. He's right back by the hole banging away.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.